All right, let's go back to Hebrews. I want to spend a few Sundays here and finish up in Hebrews there. We're in the last chapter. We kind of took a break and for a little bit, but let's go back there and let's get to Hebrews chapter 13. It's been it's back in November when the last time we preached, and we preached on Let Brotherly Love Continue, but let's start in verse 1. Let's read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 13. Are y'all there? Amen. All right. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. All right, let's stop right there. Now, Father, thank you for the good singing, and thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Thank you for our time that we've had together here already. We could go home now and be blessed and helped by being in your house this morning. I pray you'd speak to us for the next few minutes here from your word. Help us, Lord, to understand these things and to realize they're true. If this is truth, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it is when you live in us. When your spirit lives in us, this is part of the great change that they were just singing about that comes about in the heart of a person when you come to live in their heart and mind. Lord, help us now. Bless the word of God and may it have free course in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, most people get hung up on that angels business there. But we're not going to do that this morning. That's not the subject here. That's not the object of what he's talking about here. Carnal men, they have these tribal tendencies. You know that? They sprang from a selfish heart and an attitude that is not pleasing to God. And so, if it's not pleasing to God, that makes it a sin. If God, anything God's not pleased with, I'm pretty sure that would fall over in awful close to sin. Wouldn't you think so? There's a thing, a lot of people, I've heard this verse quoted a lot of times, it says, be careful to entertain. That's not what it says. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm just saying that when men in their carnal state, they have this tendency to be tribal. We decide who we're going to, who we are by shopping through all the different flavors and tribes of men and finding one that appeals to our pride and lust, and then we attempt to join that tribe. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. Maybe you will in a minute here. When people do this, they automatically exclude who belongs to other tribes and we set ourselves apart. You know, people call them cliques in churches and things like that. We just kind of find our little place and we huddle off with a bunch away from everybody else. And we're the great stuff and everybody else is just, they're all stupid. They're all ignorant. They're all ornery. They're all worthless. You know, that's the way carnal men do. And that's, it sounds kind of funny to put it this way, but that is like tribes. You know, you get to the places on the earth, the dark places of the earth, where men have lived that way for centuries, and that's how they are. They're in tribes. We call them that. They live in tribes, and they're all against one another. They don't live in harmony. They're always at war, fighting one another, trying to do away with one another. And so we develop this bad attitude toward those that are not of our tribe. And we esteem them lower than ourselves and our people. And we set ourselves apart. All earthly social arrangements and organizations, they encourage and even demand loyalty to the tribe. And this ingrains these ungodly and sinful attitudes. So you want me to name a few? How about schools? And colleges? How about sports teams? How about branches of the military? I don't know. Was you ever in the military, brother? So I don't know if we got anybody in here. Gary's dad was in the military. But I don't know.
He was in the
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as anybody here, I don't guess any of us were. But if we were, we'd have this, there'd be this attitude that would be a hindrance to us because it was so drilled into us that you're a Marine, or you're a sailor, you're a Navy, you know, or you're the Army. And they're all of the same thing, but you're divided up, see? Where'd you go to school? How many times have I been asked that question? I always say, well, I just went to Sunday school. And but it's a pride thing, and it's a divisive thing. It's something that identifies us into separate groups, and there's other things, like political parties. How about that one? How about races of people? How about nations? How about organized religion? You know, it's not been just a few days ago, I heard where somebody, boy, they were a Baptist, and I mean, that was supreme over everything else, to be identified as a Baptist. Well, shame on you if you think that.
Yes, sir.
That's not where my loyalty lies, and I don't think we ought to be tribed up like that. Yes. I'm not an ecumenicalist, and I don't believe in non-denominational and all. I'm not that. But I think you're misled if you're putting all of your loyalty and you think you've found an anchor in the Baptists because they're messed up. I've known and been in so many churches, and there's no standard. There's no consistency. They're as different as it can possibly be. It's not the place to drop an anchor. Not the place to identify yourself with. Cultural identities, like, I do this pretty often, but cowboys, you know. They wear their boots, they wear their hat. And you know, you've heard Seth tell you he did that when he was a teenager, you know, and I'd make fun of him mercilessly because I said, you ain't no cowboy, where's your horse? And, oh, he'd make him mad because all of his buddies were cowboys, you know. And, whoever saw a cowboy with ruddy cheeks anyway, I mean. But it was a tribal thing. That's what it was, see? It's peer pressure. It's trying to find a place where you fit and where you're accepted. That's a big thing right there. But now there's bikers. And there's rappers, and there's gamers, and there's gothic people, and there's rednecks. And everybody's proud of what they are. Isn't that true? So we're subjected to this influence and this pressure to find ourselves and figure out where we belong from the time we're old enough to start comprehending the world around us. These little ones pick up on stuff like this. And they start developing their preferences for dress and appearance and all of that because they're wanting to identify with a certain whatever, tribe. God's people are to be separate from the world. Now that's in the Bible. And we're to maintain the distinctions that the Bible declares to be the identifying marks of the true children of God. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We're different than the rest of the world. But we're not to be tribal about it. You know, we are not to be tribal like most of carnal humanity is. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world as the ambassadors of Christ. Have you read that in your Bible? We're here to be a testimony for Him. We're to represent God in this world. We're the body of Christ here in this world. He ascended back to heaven. He sent His Spirit to dwell in us and to empower us to what? Speak in tongues and work miracles and raise the dead and all of that? No. To be witnesses. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of Me. That's what we're here for. And that's what sets us apart. And that's what we ought to maintain as separation from the world. We're not here as the one tribe that's against the world and the world's against us. So We're not here to build a building and call it a church and then all of us hide in that building and watch the world go to hell while, around us while we focus on not being and taken advantage of by them. That's tribal.
Yes.
See? That's not what we're to be. We're to be separate and we're a different kind of people. But we're not untouchable and we're not totally out of the world that we can't touch them. Or we're no good at all. There's no reason for us to be here. If we're just holed up and sheltered up together and the world hates us and we hate the world and we're just waiting on the Lord to come and get us out of this prison. Now that's not what we're here for. That's not why that Jesus has not come yet. I mean, He's not leaving us here for that. He's leaving us here to reach out to the world. We're here to minister and to give our lives for others, just as our Savior gave His life for us. So be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25 through 28, He called them unto Him. And Seth talked about this a little bit in Sunday school a week or two ago, but He called His disciples unto Him and said, because they were arguing over who was the greatest. And He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That's a servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So that's what we're here for. And that's why these verses are in Hebrews chapter 13. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. These commands about entertaining strangers and helping those who are in bonds or adversity, that's why they're in there. Now, the first thing that I noticed here this morning, thinking about this, is that apparently we're likely to be forgetful about these matters. You reckon? Reckon we just kind of put it out of our mind? It's an easy thing to just put it all out of our sight and therefore out of our mind. It's hard to get us to go where they are in prison, isn't it? Or in a nursing home. Or in a hospital. Or down on the street somewhere.
Yes.
We just stay away from them, so we forget. It's not mindful. Isn't it something? How we live in our own little world, where everything's happy and fine and comfortable, until we're faced with some of them in the reality of their situation, and then we're real troubled and bothered by it and concerned. But as long as we can keep it out of our sight, we're not too concerned, are we? We're forgetful about entertaining strangers. It's an easy thing. It's a dilemma for us. And it always has been. For every generation, it's always this way for everybody, in any time, in any place, because there are so many people who take advantage of the kindness and generosity of others, especially Christians. Do you know who people who just bum around and won't work and won't try to better themselves? It's not necessarily because something bad happened to them and they ended up in a bad way and they're just, boy, they need some help. They just live that way. Now we know that. And when they come to town, do you know who the first people they call? First people they contact in any town they go to?
Churches.
They contact the churches. They start in the phone books. Because we had a meeting over this tent meeting here a few years ago that turned into that big disaster, you know. But the pastor of the Assembly of God Church, he said, you know, he was wanting to for the churches to kind of get together and have some kind of a system of helping these people where it didn't all, he said, because we're the first one in the phone book. He said, they call us. And that's true. That is true. So it's a dilemma for us. It's a we tend to want to just kind of turn our head and not see them. Do you ever do that at a stoplight with some homeless person sitting there or some person sitting there panhandling? And do you just kind of look the other way as you drive by? And then feel ashamed of yourself? Yeah. Always. That's why we try to do this deal. You know, we're trying to keep them, but that's a good thing, to have something. Have something to give them instead of just turning your head away. Something that that is a real help, and not just turn our head away from them, right. Our face away from them. So it is a dilemma. We get weary very quickly of helping people when we realize they're just taking advantage of us and using us. Yeah. It's a battle in ourselves. But here's the thing. You're listening to me. This is what we got to remember, is that humanity's done God that way since the Garden of Eden. And God hadn't turned his back on man yet. No matter what God has done for man, man is unthankful. Man just uses God like a spare tire. He has no use for him until he needs something, and then he demands for God to help him. And God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So when you get tired of people doing that to you, think about God. It'll help us if we will. God gives and gives to the unthankful and the evil. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. I'm going to read several verses here. But he says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies." This is Jesus talking. "Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you." Now, what do we do, Gary? You just talked in Sunday school about it. What do we do when people hate us and when they curse us and when they despitefully use us? We get angry at them. Yes, sir. Boy, if I wasn't a Christian, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, but I can't because I'm a Christian. You think that is right? You think our heart's right? If we have that kind of feeling and that kind of desire, boy, just give me great satisfaction to just, how dare him curse me? No. Jesus said, pray for them. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Remember that. Hear Jesus say that. Remember that he said that. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? That means the grace of God has no part, no showing in your life. If you study that word, those words out, that's grace right there. Thank. What thank have you? You ain't. What has God got to do with what you're doing? If you just love them that love you back. He said, sinners, for sinners also love them that love them. That's the way they do. That's the carnal way. That's the natural way for men to act. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So, you shouldn't give to get. You shouldn't love to get loved. I mean, all that we do should not be so they'll treat us likewise. Mm-hmm. We're to treat men as we would have men treat us, not like they really treat us. Big difference. Yes, sir. People ever going to treat us right? Nope. Did they treat Jesus right? Have they ever treated God right? No. Only in imperfection and only for just seconds of time through the centuries, really. But love your enemies. Love ye your enemies, Jesus said, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, and remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. You'll be called the children of the Highest. You shall be the children of the Highest. Be merciful, as your Father is also merciful. So we forget about those who are in bonds or in adversity. When their bondage or adversity first begins, then we're more involved and we have a lot of pity on them at first, don't we? We're a lot more likely to show concern and lend a hand at the very first. For example, this family that lost the daughter and her husband 2 weeks ago today. Well, 2 weeks ago today, we were just really bothered by that. But give it a week or two. Life moves on, don't it? What do? We forget. We become forgetful. And the Bible's telling us here, not do that. Remember them. Remember them. It's something we have to do on purpose. It's something that we have to apply ourselves to, or it just doesn't happen. We have to remember. To forget is one thing, and to not remember is another thing. That adds the factor of will involved in it. Forget kind of means that you it just slipped away from you. But to not remember is like you did it on purpose. Because we can remember if we want to, and if we try to. If we apply ourselves a little bit to it, we can write ourselves a note. We can tie a string around our finger. We can do all kinds of things to remind us. We've always put prayer cards on the refrigerator. About everybody does that, doesn't it? Why do you do that? So you remember.
Yes, sir, that's right.
If you want to remember and not forget people, keep their face in front of you. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. We can control this deal better than we do, for sure. People soon forget and go on about their lives. And leave those in jail that are in jail. I remember a man in this town went to jail about 10 years ago. And, at first, a lot of the friends and everybody wrote to him. You'd see the act, but as time went on, he got less and less. Till he finally got out of jail. And, oh yeah, forgot about him. He's been in jail all these years. We put them in the nursing home, and do they get forgotten?
Oh, yes, sir.
It's easy to go a week, 2 weeks, a month without going and seeing them. It's a thing, I've thought of through years. I've always been ashamed of it because I think of them often. But there's always something to keep you from doing something about it. What can you do about it? Go see them. Even if it just takes a few minutes. But we're to remember them that are in bonds. And people in a nursing home, they're in bonds. Now let me tell you, they can't get a drink of water for themselves. They can't go to the store themselves. Their freedom is gone. So, need to remember them. Or people that are bound to their home. There's people, that I know that they can't get out anymore. They just can't go anywhere. They can't. That's kind of, even if they're at home, there doesn't have to be bars on the doors and windows to mean that they're in bondage. They just can't go. Need to remember them. It's easy to forget, to visit, to call them on the phone, to send a letter, or now a text, or even a prayer on their behalf. God wants us to be of this mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you this morning? This is what I think God means for us to be of this mind, have this kind of a mind. We're not just concerned about our little tribe and what's going on with us and how good we look and what everybody thinks of us and what we can do and accomplish and all of that. You get so involved in what we're doing that we don't even do what God put us here to do. And there is so much of the churches, so many of the churches, this is the common thing. They do that instead of this. You know, we're fixing to build a building, but that is not what we're here to do. And that ain't nothing but a tool or a means to do what we're supposed to be doing. But most churches, that becomes the have all end all. I mean, that's all it's about. I mean, it's our great monument that we're building and memorial to our name. While people drop off into hell all around them and people are in jail and in nursing homes and hospitals and prisons and stuck at home and in bondage and in need. And nobody, we forget that so that we can rejoice together. I mean, churches have their shout outs and their hallelujah meetings and their concerts and everything else. And while people are within shouting distance of the church that need a lot more than that. They need something real, real down to earth help. So God is reminding us this morning in these scriptures here that we're here on this earth for a reason. And it's not to join a tribe and stand against all the rest of the tribes of the world. But we're here to minister, to be a blessing and a help in their trouble, as a testimony for God and His goodness, and to show the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what we're here for, to entertain strangers. Well, what does that mean? Well, I looked it up, and it says it means to treat with hospitality. Well, you talked to those ladies down there last spring about hospitality, didn't you? Was that it? Was that the place? Mm-hmm. Hospitality means this: the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. Hospitality. I got to think about that word, and I said it real slow, and it's hospital. Do you know that same word? Mm-hmm. Hospital means a building appropriated for the reception of sick, infirm, and helpless paupers who are supported and nursed by charity. Also, a house for the reception of insane persons, whether paupers or not, for seamen, soldiers, foundlings, and etc., who are supported by the public or by private charity, or for infected persons. It means a place or shelter for entertainment. Now, see how our language changes? Is that what a hospital is now? No, a hospital now is a corporation, and it's a business, and it's there to make money, not take care of people. And it's not for paupers. Jesus gave us a very clear illustration of what it means to not be forgetful about entertaining strangers. He gave us many. His example was that. All of His life taught us what we're reading about here this morning. Even Christ pleased not Himself, the Bible says. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Who divided up the money in His pockets when they crucified Him? There wasn't no money in His pockets. They divided His garments because that's all He had. But He fed multitudes. He healed diseases. If they had to have money, He said, go catch a fish. Open its mouth. Nobody ever walked away from Jesus in need unless they rejected Him. That rich young man went away sorrowful. But there never was a poor man went away sorrowful who yielded his heart to Him. There never was a dead person came into His presence without, when he walked away, they were alive. That's how it was. He met every need. He took care of every situation. He healed every disease. He said here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 33 through 40, He said, "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." He's going to judge the nations. "Then shall the King," capital K, "say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Y'all know what it says, don't you? "For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me." You see? Same thing. "Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee?" And the King shall answer... "And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, you have done it unto Me." So you see, what the Lord... When we get to that judgment, what is going to matter? What's the criteria that He's judging? You have to believe the truth. You have to know the truth, and you have to believe the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you believe the truth and you know the truth, then it's going to produce this change in your life, and you're going to be like this. You're going to do these things. Faith without works is dead. This kind of works. It's going to make you love everybody. It's going to make you love everybody. And be and have a burden for people instead of being angry with them and counting them as your enemy like the enemy tribes. You know, it's going to change all that about you. I love the word King there. How many of you have ever heard S.M. Lockridge preach on My King? Come on. Are you kidding me? Oh, Lord help us. Mercy. That really grieves me. You know, that's just something that I've known ever since I was a Christian. You just need to look it up and you need to listen to it. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. It's shocking to me. I'm sorry. That you just you've never heard. I don't understand. It's just it bothers me that we're failing to connect all the strings to the past. S.M. Lockridge was an old black preacher, but he was an educated black preacher. But he was one of them that was full of the Holy Ghost. You listen to that message and tell me. You listen to that message, you'll understand what Spirit-filled preaching is about. Yes. It's just My King. He's My King. He's the overseer of the overcomers. I mean, you know how a black man preaches, and he just did that over and over. That's all he said. He'd stop once in a while. "I just wish I could describe Him to you." He'll give you so much that you cannot absorb it. My King. Oh well. Lord help us. Who's benefited and made better the most? The minister. And I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about the minister. We're all ministers. That's what we're here for. We don't have a church so we can designate all this responsibility onto one or two people and they can do it and the rest of us just keep on about our business. We're all ministers. We're here to minister. Now, who's better for it? And who's benefited the most? Huh? Is it the one that's fed or the one that feeds? Is it the one that receives or the one that gives? Whose benefits the most? Oh, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Luke 6:35 says, those who minister in this way will be called the children of the highest. We read that a while ago. That's a far greater honor and blessing than having a meal to eat or a place to sleep. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade for a mess of pottage. I wouldn't trade my birthright for a bowl of beans.
No, sir.
It's much more blessing. Who benefits the most? We do. By being the minister, by doing what God's telling us to do here, to not be forgetful about entertaining strangers, being hospitable, being kind, providing things, helping them. We're imitating God when we're generous and kind to those who cannot or will not repay us in like kind. We're imitating God. God gives. Jesus healed 10 lepers. How many came back to say thank you? One. And he was a Samaritan. Half-breed Jew. Rejected by everybody else. The least likely. He came into his own and his own received him not. Their king. And they rejected him. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now it says some have entertained angels unawares. That's what it says that. It sure does. I believe that's true too. You ever think of this? What will it be like to find out in eternity who and what God put across our path? To give us an opportunity to be His voice and to be His hands for some lost or needy soul. Think about it. Who have I crossed paths with in my life as a Christian? Who have I said something to that helped or given something to that helped? Didn't even think nothing about it. Didn't even know. Didn't pay attention. This is a long deal. Eternity's long. And while we're here on earth, it's a short little ride. But God, I believe in divine appointments. I don't believe that anything is an accident or just a chance in the life of a Christian. I believe that God directs our steps. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that's the way it is. And so we ought to take it that seriously. I have a struggle with it every time somebody comes along, like this bunch here a while back, you know. And I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. I'll always come back to the same thing. Just do it. Just do it. Don't sit and try to find an excuse not to. Don't sit around and try to justify yourself for not helping. Just do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Leave it in God's hands. Thereby have some entertained angels unawares. You just never know. And in the first place, that person may be unworthy as they can be right now, but God knows what they're going to be someday.
Yes, sir.
And what if I am a stumbling block? What if they come to me and say, you know, you're a preacher and you got people and, you know, I need, they know this stuff. And I say, you're just lazy. That's what's wrong with you. You just need to get a job. I work all the time. Why don't you get a job and work? And there's things I don't know that God does know. Why'd God put them across my path? So that I'd tell them that? You think that? No, I don't think that's ever the case. Be honest with you. I think we should be hospitable. We ought to be We ought to be not be forgetful about entertaining strangers, being hospitable, giving, kind, helpful. Because if they're abusing us, that's on them. Mm-hmm. If they're taking advantage of us, that's up to God to deal with them on that.
Yes.
But what if? I mean, it could even be an angel. You know what an angel is? We were talking about this morning because of our reading we were doing. Some angels. They were not made in the image and likeness of God. There's drastic differences, major elements of God that are missing from them that are present in us.
Yes.
We're made a little lower than the angels. But an angel, the basic definition of an angel is a messenger. God, have you ever, when it's all said and done, you realize that God put somebody in your life to teach you something? Somebody maybe that you did not even take at the beginning. Maybe somebody that you didn't take to ever. But God put them there to teach you something. Have you ever experienced that? Well, that could have been an angel. Because an angel is a messenger. What will it be like to find out in eternity who and what God put across our path? Is it worth it? Sure, there'll be those that are not thankful and count us as fools for being kind and generous to them and snicker as they walk off. But our generosity and kindness is as unto the Lord. What we do in this matter, we're doing it as unto the Lord because He said that. He said, I was an hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was in prison and you came to me. So He's counting it that way. If you do that unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So that's the way God's keeping accounts. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and He will repay him. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. So when I do this, I'm not giving it to them, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm given as unto the Lord. So it'll be on them and not on us. On the other hand, consider the reward of the joy we'll have in heaven when we hear the Savior saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Have you ever sat around for any length of time and thought about that? That little statement in the Bible? Can He say that to me? Can Jesus honestly, wholeheartedly say that to me? If I was in heaven in the next 5 seconds, could He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That's kind of sobering, isn't it? Considering our instability and our changeableness. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What in the world is going to be the criteria for determining whether we're a good servant or not? First, if we're a servant, or if we're a Christian celebrity or hero or wannabe. Are we really a servant? Well, just think about that. Can you think of any goal that would be more desirable for your life than that? When you find yourself in the presence of God, can you think of anything that would make you more full of joy than to hear that? Well, we better be thinking about it here, let me tell you.
Yes, sir.
Better be thinking about that right here and now and getting to it. Getting to what God's put us here to do. Getting busy about the work God's put us here to do. So it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, like the song says. Let us not be forgetful to entertain strangers and to remember those in bonds and affliction, whether they are of our own tribe or not. And that means it ought to be a big part of our Christian life to have an interest in and seek to find a way to help others in need. I mean, y'all do a pretty good job at it, but just like the Christmas boxes, you know, people always find a reason not to participate in anything because there's something wrong. Hey, somebody involved in this is not up to par or something like that. What's the reason for it? What's the goal? What's accomplished through all this? Yeah. You touch a life somewhere. With just a few little trinkets and junk that don't cost you nothing. I'm just telling you, we're missing the mark big time on this. We ought to have an interest. We ought to seek a way to help people in need and to be a blessing by being what Jesus was to the poor, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the afflicted. Jesus stood in the temple in Luke there when he began his earthly ministry. When he went into the temple and he asked for the roll and they handed it to him and he opened it up to Isaiah chapter 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath appointed me to preach, hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Gary. "He has sent me to bind up," he talked about the meek in Sunday school. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted of our tribe." No. No, he didn't say that. There was a Syrophoenician woman.
Yes.
She wasn't of the tribe.
No.
There was a centurion who had a child that was dying. He wasn't of the tribe. Didn't stop Jesus. It's not meat to take the children's meat and feed it to the dogs of bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Okay. Yep, he didn't pay the attention to all the dispensational lines that everybody's drawed out in iron and stone. She got her request. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Hear that? "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, I read in Isaiah, in Luke, when Jesus quoted those, read those verses, what did they want to do with him? They wanted to kill him. Because he immediately wasn't on board with their organized religion and what it was about. It was not about that. Just like it is today. The world is a dark place. This is a dark, evil time. And we're to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What good works? Works that puff us up, that honor our tribe, that increase our fame and our riches and wealth and our name and our influence and our power, earthly power? No. No. What is it that affects people? I just stuck a card in my Bible here, that thank you card I read you the other night. It's little things like that. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take all that we have. We don't have to empty our bank accounts and sell our property and all that to make a grand difference in the day we live in.
That's right.
Back then, at the beginning of the church, they did that, and they turned the world upside down. We've got so much means at our disposal, and we better get to it. Time's running out. Tell you, we ain't got much time. I really do believe that. More so than ever before. It's too much is going on and too much is happening here. And the Lord's going to come. Such an hour as you think not. And it'll be over. And the opportunity will be past. Now's the time. Now's the time to be reaching out to people. People need help. They do. You think it's going to harm the work of God to help people? Even if you help some, don't really need help. Even if you help some, just taking advantage of it. I look at the world and the things they do. You know, they got a bread shed thing down here, and they do that, and they do that. And I know a lot of people go down there and get food, and they don't need the food. Yeah. They just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Just keep giving it away anyway.
Yes,
because some of them do. Why cut them off? Because of the people that take advantage of the thing. So we ought to be able to do better than that. As Christians, we ought to be able to. And it all shouldn't be just the church corporately doing things. Each individual family, each individual here ought to be this kind of a Christian. Be not forgetful about this matter. Strangers. People you don't know. People that's not of your tribe. Not of your people. Reach out to them. See what a difference it makes. It's what the world is dying for. It's what the world's dying for. What a difference it could make. I don't know how I can stress it enough. But I mean, all the terrible things, there's just murders going on all the time. Every day my phone gives me 2 or 3 or 4 notifications of murders going on in this area, you know, this part of the country. Do you realize that one act of kindness might stop something like that from happening down the road in somebody's life? Do you understand that? Just one act of kindness could make the difference in whether somebody ends up in that kind of a state and doing that kind of a horrible thing. Don't miss it. Don't be forgetful about entertaining strangers and about remembering people who are in bonds and in affliction. Don't forget them. It's when they need the help. That's when they get bitter because people forget them. And they think nobody cares. And then they become convinced that ain't nobody cares. It's every man for himself in this world. We're here to make a difference about that. We're here to make some people understand that's not true. Amen. Bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I know this is right this morning. Pray you'd help us to receive it. Pray it would make a difference that we'd do this and not just hear it, but that we would do this in our life. Be more mindful. Be less forgetful. Remember on purpose the folks around us that are in affliction, in bondage, and in need. And help us, Lord, to be there to help when we can. Bless our hearts, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.